Amen. Well, let us turn to the word. I want to start in Titus, in the book of Titus, which is right after Timothy, I believe. And I want to read a verse in chapter 1 of Titus. And well, let's read a couple of verses. Let's start in verse 5. This is from Paul writing to the young man Titus. Amen. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. All right. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry. In other words, he's not quick-tempered, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. Now, just to put this in context, Paul is talking about elders, all right, elders. In other words, the elders should take take responsibility over the house of God. Okay, and then the word bishop is mentioned, and the bishop is basically means the same thing as the elder. In other words, it isn't something separate. The word bishop means overseer. The job of elders is to oversee the body of Christ. Now, the key that I'm talking about here, I'm not talking about everything, although this should be a description of every man, by the way. Should be a description of every man in the body of Christ. But the key I'm talking about today is the husband of one wife. Okay? God wants the elders to be the husband of one wife. That is his order. All right, let's move on. Now, some things in Timothy. So, almost the same thing here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll read again the same instructions. 1 Timothy chapter 3, if I can find it here. Here we are. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now that word office does not appear in the original text. Somebody put that in there. So basically what he's saying is if the man desires to be an overseer, he desires a good thing. A bishop. Now he's talking about elders here. Remember, these are elders. This is not the Catholic Church that has their bishops and hierarchy. A bishop or an overseer must be blameless, the husband of one wife. There it is again. God wants the elder to have a wife, which means he wants the wife to have a husband. Okay. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker. In other words, he doesn't get into fights, not greedy of filthy lucre, which is money. He's not greedy for money. But patient, not a brawler, not contentious, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. All right. Now, then, in the next chapter of 1 Timothy, we have another verse here. So let's read from verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times... Where are we now? Are we not in the latter times? that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Well, it seems that there are a lot that have, many have departed from the faith. Amen. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, the phrase here that I'm looking at is forbidding to marry. So we know that the whole Roman Catholic system has come to make their doctrines that all of their ministry, their nuns, their priests, their bishops, their everybody, forbidden to marry. They're not allowed to have a wife. The nuns are not allowed to have a husband. And let me ask you, how's that working out for them? It's not working out very good, is it? No. Because it puts men in an unnatural condition, in a place that is out of order, the way God created things for man and woman, these people are getting into trouble. And I don't know, what do you call these local Catholic systems? What do they call it? Mike, what's the name for it there? Diocese and archdiocese. Anyway, some of these local groups are going bankrupt because people are suing them for the terrible things they've done to children. Amen. It's not working out very good for them. They are going contrary to the word of God. All right. Now, the thing I'm talking about here is the husband of one wife. And it was a little over a week ago. I should have brought this word last week, but I think it works out good that we're bringing it this week. It was during the night. It seemed to be quite a long season during the night that the Lord brought this word to me. And it's very rare for the Lord to do that. I don't usually get a word like that during the night season that I dream the word, shall we say, all night long. And gave me the scripture, gave me the examples from the word, and that's what I'm going to try to do today. Now, I want to start off with David. That was the first example the Lord gave me. David was a good man. All right, we're not going to deny that, but there were things that David did that were contrary to the order of God. He had a heart toward God, yes. When he sinned, the prophet came to him. David repented. He wept. He was very sorrowful for what he had done. Nevertheless, he did some things that brought a bad, he sowed some seeds, shall we say, that brought a bad crop to him later in life. Now, I want to start with a little description of David in, let's go to 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 3. Well, first of all, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Okay, now this is after David sinned with Bathsheba, and probably the worst part of his sin was that he had this woman's husband killed, had him murdered. And here's the word, I believe, 2 Samuel 12. Okay. All right. This is the prophet has come to Oh, I've got 1 Samuel. No wonder. I've got the wrong passage here. Let me get 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 12. All right, here's the prophecy that that Nathan brought to David. He gave him the story about the rich man that had many sheep and the poor man that had only one ewe lamb, which is a little female sheep. And the rich man had a guest, so he went and took the poor man's sheep, and they ate the sheep. And David was just absolutely angry at that. He said to the prophet, "That man must die." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." And his conscience smote him. All right, so we're going to say David had a very active conscience. And when his conscience smote him, he repented before the Lord. Now here's what the Lord said to him. "And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such and such." Amen. "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with a sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore," now here's the prophecy the Lord gave him, "now therefore the sword shall not depart from thy house." In other words, there's going to be murder in your house, bloodshed. Amen. "Because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house," right out of your own house, "and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them to thy neighbor, and he shall lie with them, with thy wives, in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Amen. And Nathan said to David, "The Lord hath also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast great occasion for thy enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that is born unto thee shall surely die." All right, just a little portion here. Now, we know what happened between David and Bathsheba. Who did God hold accountable for that? He held David. He held the man. The responsibility. God didn't send the prophet to Bathsheba. You could say, well, she shouldn't have done that. Well, she shouldn't. But what are you going to do? The king, the man that has all the power in Israel, he calls you and he seduces you. So, yes, she sinned, but the responsibility was on David. Now, I want to look at some of the mistakes that David made. Go back to the beginning of 2 Samuel, chapter 3, when David first came to be the king. All right, many battles, much victory in the name of the Lord over the Philistines, over the enemies. But while David was running from the Philistines, he was also collecting wives. Now, the order of God is the husband of one wife. Well, it's too bad that Moses didn't write that in the Ten Commandments, but it was the order of God. Now, we go back to look at the book of Genesis, And we see in the creation, it's easy to find, it's in the second chapter. And let me see here. In the second chapter, in the 18th verse, all right, Adam was created first, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." Well, I guess we can say that is true also of the woman. It is not good to be alone. It is better that she have a husband. It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. That help meet means an appropriate kind of help. All right? The animals in the garden, they were not the right thing for Adam. So what did God do? And out of the ground, the Lord had formed every beast, all right? And they weren't, Adam named them, but they weren't the right thing for him. And so, but for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. Nowhere among the animals, the apes, the gorillas, the orangutan, nothing, nothing. Nothing was right for him. And so the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "Now is this bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Now, did God make a mistake? Did he do the wrong thing? Should he have done it the other way around? Should he have made Eve first and taken a rib out of her? No, because
No.
it would show that there was a different order. In other words, the responsibility of keeping the order in the house was given to the man. That's his job. Okay, her job was she was to help him keep the order, help him keep the children. All right. Now you notice another thing here. God only took one rib. He only made one woman. He only made one Eve. I'm thinking, well, if God wanted man to have more than one wife, he would have made it in the garden, would he not? He would make Eve, he would make Evelyn, he would make Eva, Yvonne. He would just keep making more and more. But clearly, when you read the Word of God, the order is the husband of one wife. Okay? Now, I don't know how well David knew the Word of God. I have to believe that he knew quite a bit. But apparently the thing about kings is they came to believe that they could have anything they wanted. Let me find I intended to let me find when they said they wanted a when they wanted a king in first, and he gave them Saul. And let me find the word here. Maybe you can help me find. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Samuel the prophet told Israel what was going to happen if they had a king. Okay? And it says here, "And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people." This is in chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, verse 10. "All the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him for a king." And he said, "This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and for his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground." In other words, he's going to take your ground. He's going to grow his crops. because he needs lots of food to feed all his soldiers and all his people that are keeping his castle going and his house and all that. Let's go on and reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries. In other words, she's going to be cooks and to be cooks and bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed. In other words, he's going to take the tithe out of you too. My goodness, that's what a lot of these mega pastors are doing, aren't they? They're taking 10% of everybody, and then they're buying their big jets and their wealthy cars and building their mansions and all that, yeah. And take the tenth of your seed and your vineyards and give to his officers and his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. The tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. Well, he could have added, and he'll take some more of your young women to be his wives. Didn't mention that, but that's what happened. So, now Saul is dead, and we have a summary. David has becoming the king now. First, he was king in Hebron for 7 years. Let's read it here in chapter 3 of 2 Samuel. It says, now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. All right, let's not forget that God was with David. All right? But there were things happening in David's life that he was sowing seed, and he didn't realize it. He was following the tradition of other kings. This is what other kings did. They had one wife, then they had two, then they had three, they needed four, they needed five, they needed six, whatever. So, and unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon of Anenoham the Jezreelitess, and his second was Chileab. And by the way, when you see that in the book of Chronicles, that son Chileab is really named Daniel. I don't know why he had two names. His name was Daniel, of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Now, I like Abigail. I mean, she was a woman that I really like her. I mean, of all David's wives, I liked Abigail because she was married to a terrible man, and God delivered her of that terrible situation. Anyway, let's move on. Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Tamar, king of Geshur, and the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, and the fifth, Shephathiah, the son of Abatai, and the sixth, Ithream by Elga, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. Well, by the time he finished his reign in Hebron, within that 7 year period, he had already collected six wives. I think that's more than he needed. What man needs six wives? All right, but let's see what happened to these. How did this turn out? How well did David do at raising his sons? Not a very good job. Not a very good. He might have been better at being king, but he wasn't very good at being a father. So let's look at the first one. Amnion of Abinaham the Jezreelitess. Amnion was the oldest, okay? He's the one that had a some kind of a passion for his half sister, Tamar, and he got his cousin got into a conspiracy and pretended he was sick, and the word got to David that he was sick, and the only way he could get over his sickness was if Tamar came and made some food for him, and that would cure him of his illness. I don't know. People didn't have a very good knowledge of medicine back in those days, did they? Somehow they thought that, well, just bring that girl in and she'll fix him something to eat. Well, what happened is he sent everybody else out and then he raped her. And not only was it the sin of rape, but it was incest. She was his sister. And so now we have that. And what happened? Now we come to Absalom, the third one. And David didn't do anything about it, really. He was angry about it, but he did nothing. I don't know what the rules were. David could have set up some kind of a judgeship, given some kind of penalty to his oldest son, but basically he let him get away with it. Well, Absalom didn't like that idea very well, and so he plotted, and eventually he called all the sons together to a big picnic, a big party, and when they had drunk a little wine, he caused his men to kill his brother Amnon. Well, once again, Amnon fled to his grandfather's place, and David did nothing about it. Well, so
Absalom fled, not Amnon.
yes, I'm sorry. Did I say that wrong? Absalom, yeah, Amnon couldn't flee because he was dead. So Absalom fled to his grandfather, his mother's father. And again, David did nothing about it. So finally, David's what was his general's name?
Job. Job.
Joab. Joab. Joab talked him into bringing Absalom back home. And I'm just summarizing the story. And again, David did nothing. He didn't want to see him, but he let him come back home. Well, finally, he got Absalom to confront his father and at least acknowledge that he was back home, and but again, David did nothing about it. And of course, you know the story. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, how Absalom then raised a rebellion against David, would have had him killed. David had to flee out of the city with all his family, except for the concubines that were keeping the house, the housekeepers, we could say. Again, how well can we judge that David had his house in order? He didn't. I don't, let's just say he had six wives, but he really had more. But let's just talk about the six wives. This was not one great big happy family. They did not all live in one house, by the way. It seems that each wife apparently had her own house. When the children got older, they had their own house. Amnion had his own house. Where was the influence of the father? How well was he doing? How can you raise your sons, shall we say, from six different houses? Which house will I be in today? Which house will I be in tomorrow? You cannot be a father over your children. You cannot raise children in this manner. So far, it hasn't turned out real good, has it? So, let's look at these women. All right. So we know that they didn't have much influence from their father. How about their mother? Well, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, the mother of the son that raped his sister and was eventually murdered, I don't know anything about her. She must not have been a very diligent woman, but then again, what can a woman do alone when there's no influence of the father? You know, I've lived a number of years. I'm 80 some years. I've been watching how things go in different homes. One thing I've discovered from observation is that you have two parents that are both dedicated to the Lord, dedicated to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, in the discipline of the Lord, you've got a pretty good chance that your children will turn out to be godly, God-fearing children. Not 100%, because the child has his own will. He'll do what he wants sometimes in rebellion against both parents. Okay? But the best chances are mother and father working together in agreement. The child knows he can't get away with anything. He can't go to his mother says no. He can't go to his father. Oh, yeah, I'll let you do it. Well, what does mom say? Well, mom doesn't want me to do it. Well, I'll let you do it anyway. No, that doesn't work out too good. So two parents, both in agreement, both working in the same manner. Now, you've got one parent that wants to raise the children right, and the other one is working against them. And not just casually, but I think purposely working against them. Now you don't have a very good chance. The chance of you getting all of your children to follow the Lord, not as good, not as good. Both parents are rebellious. Both parents want to follow the world. Not a very good chance at all of any of your children following the Lord. Okay, so here we have now, we have a father that we can call him an absentee father. For the most part, he's absent from these homes. He's so busy being the king that he doesn't have any time. He's busy running after his army, fighting the Philistines, doing this, doing that. He doesn't have time to raise his children. What is he doing collecting more wives and collecting more children? It seems that he would stay with one wife just long enough for her to give birth to a child, and then he moves on to another one. All right, so the next son, we'll call him Daniel, from Abigail. Now, we know more about Abigail than we know about these other women. I like Abigail. I mean, she was a woman in a terrible, terrible condition. And because of the terrible things her father, her husband had done, David was ready to come in with his army and wipe them all out. He was going to kill every male in that house. And Abigail found out about it, and she told her servants, load me up a donkey, fill me up a donkey full of bread and full of raisin cakes and full of everything good to eat, some meat. I'm going out to help feed David and his army and his 600 men. By the way, I'm thinking, all right, there's David with a 600 man army, got six wives. I was thinking, well, how many of these 600 men have each got six wives? No, I don't think so. I think they were just ordinary men. Some of them didn't have a wife. If they had, there was one woman. one husband and one wife in this army. So they weren't able, why did a king believe that he had the privilege of taking more? Because he discovered he had authority, he discovered he could have riches, he discovered he could have just about anything that he wanted. And so he knew the tradition of kings collect wives. So that's what David did. All right, let's look at the next one, Absalom. His mother was Micaiah, the daughter of Tamai, king of Geshur. Well, this woman was not an Israelite, was she? She came daughter of king of Geshur. Well, Geshur is not Israel. What do you know about Geshur? Does anybody know anything about where was this little kingdom of Geshur? Well, it doesn't seem to be clear in the Bible, but I looked it up. I wanted to know, where are these people of Geshur? And the nearest I could discover is that Geshur was once called Bashem. And remember who the king of Bashem was? Og. What do you remember about Og? Og was this wicked giant king of Bashur. And as soon as the Israelites came out of Egypt, he was one of the first guys that they conquered. He was this giant king, I mean, big like Goliath. And he was a very unrighteous, wicked man that tried to stop the movement of the Israelites. So what kind of woman was this? How was she helping raise Absalom into a righteous, God-fearing, law-keeping fellow? No. She didn't have any tradition of Israel. She didn't have any tradition of how God had kept them coming out of Egypt, coming across the wilderness. She had none of that knowledge in her. She didn't know anything about it. All she knew was now she's in the camp of Israel. She's one of David's wives. And frankly, she didn't help at all in raising Absalom. She couldn't have. Nothing good that I ever read in the Bible about Absalom anywhere. All right. Let's go to Adonijah of Haggith. Adonijah was another rebel. I don't know who Haggith was, but he's the one that made the plot to be king. Let me read a little bit about Adonijah. 1 Kings chapter 1, and we'll find he did a rebellion like Absalom. He wasn't quite as violent. He didn't drive everybody out of Jerusalem, but he was wicked. He had ambition. He thought that he deserved to be king. He was actually the fourth one. So let's remember, by the time he did this, the firstborn, Amnon, was already dead. Absalom was dead because of the battle where Joab killed him out in the battle. The only one older than him was the one called Daniel. But Daniel was apparently a quiet, a young man that was satisfied with his life. He had no ambition to try to overthrow the king. He had no, none of this, nothing of the sort. But Adonijah now, the fourth one born, I'm going to read in 1 Kings chapter 1, and verse 5. Says, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. Now, I don't find anything like that about the other one, about Chileab or Daniel from Abigail. I don't find him trying to exalt himself at all, saying, I will be king. And he prepared chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Beware of 50 men. Amen. When the king sends 50 men against Elijah, what did Elijah do? Lord, if I'm a servant of the Most High God, let the fire come down. Well, the wicked king sent, and by the way, these wicked king is the son of Ahab. Amen. What kind of a mother did he have? Jezebel. Amen. Not a very good influence on either side, was there? We're just talking about parenting now a little bit, okay? So he prepared, and his now listen to this. Listen to the absentee father. This is the only place I can prove that David did not do his job. And his father had not displeased him at any time. Now that word displeased means did not discipline him, did not train him, did not try to stop him. Anything that he wanted to do, David didn't put up a stop. Did not displease him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? Now, it's not just asking the question, it's putting a stop to it. No, you're not going to do that. No, you're not going to have that. No, that will not be good for you. No, I am going to prevent you from doing that. Come on, this is the job of a father. It shouldn't be the job of a mother. It should be the job of a father. And her job is to help what the father said. If dad said no, the answer is no. Amen. I see some of you sisters are smiling a little bit. Do you know what I'm talking about? Amen. Okay. And he also was a very goodly man. In other words, he was handsome. So he got away with anything he wanted to do. And he thought, well, if I want to be king, I'll get away with that too. David is not going to stop me. He's getting old. You know, what's he going to do about it? And his mother bare him after Absalom. Now, it wasn't the same mother. In other words, he was born by another mother after Absalom. Okay? And so we go on. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah. And by the way, Zeruiah, his mother, was David's sister. The son of Zeruiah. And with Abathar the priest. Now, Abathar the priest was loyal to David when Absalom rebelled. These are hard names to remember. I tell you, brethren, I've had to go through these names a dozen times before I finally remember them. I'm terrible at names. I meet people here in the village. They tell me their name. I am so embarrassed. I meet them the next day. I don't remember their name. But keep this in mind. Abathar the priest was loyal previously to David, but not now. Amen. And they following Adonijah helped him. But Zadok the priest, amen, and Benaiah, now Benaiah is going to be the new captain of the military, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. They weren't invited to the party. Okay? So, here we come down to now the fourth son, Adonijah. And he made a plot to be king, and it says that he was never disciplined by David. Why? Why didn't David discipline him? Problem? He was not the husband of one wife. At this time, he was the husband of at least six wives. Now, the thing is, it didn't stop at six. Now, you say, well, I read Kings and Chronicles and all these begats and begottens, and it's just so boring. But, you know, if you take the time and really dig into it, you're going to find detail that you wouldn't learn the first time you read it. You find the names of other wives. Let's move on. Shephathiah, number five, of Abital. I don't know anything about her. Don't know anything about him. Well, the thing is, he didn't cause trouble. She might have been a good woman. Okay? Don't know anything about her. Number six. Ithream of Elga. Ithream was the son. Elga, Igla was the woman. Don't know a thing about her. She must have been an Israelite woman also. It doesn't say that she came from some foreign kingdom and learned in her youth to worship Baal and all those other idols, apparently like Absalom's mother did. Okay? All right, let's move on to other sons, which are not listed in the first book of Kings or in 2 Samuel. Let's go to Chronicles. There's some hidden clues here in Chronicles. You know, I have a tendency to ignore Chronicles. I think, okay, everything that needs to be said is said in Kings. But that's not true. There are things in Chronicles that are not in Kings. 1 Chronicles chapter 3. 1 Chronicles chapter 3. 1, 2, 3. Here we are. This is called the genealogy of the sons of David. Now, there were sons of David which were born unto him in Hebron. That's the first 7 years of his being king. Okay? The firstborn, Amnon, we've read that already, of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess. The second, and here's the word Daniel is given, of Abigail, the Carmelitess. The third, Absalom, the son of Micaiah, the daughter of Tamal, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. Okay. The fifth, Shephatiah of Abtal. The sixth, Ithream of Iglah. These six were born unto him in Hebron, and there he reigned 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. Now, a little clue of David's personal life after that, in these 33 years in Jerusalem. And these were born unto him in Jerusalem. One, Shimei, and Sobab, and Nathan, and Solomon, four, of Bathshua, the daughter of Ammonel. Well, four children from Bathsheba. What happened? David must have decided for a while that he was going to stay home for a little while. He stayed home long enough for four children to be born of Bathsheba. And we don't really hear anything real bad about them, do we? Shimei. Now, I don't know if Shimei was the child that was born that died. Somebody said no, that child was never given a name. So this would have been the second born child, or it could have been the firstborn. I don't know. The name is spelled different in several places. Okay? And Shobab. All right? So this one, Shobab, was born before Solomon. Solomon was not the second born of Bathsheba. It's quite clear. And Nathan. Oh, I'm sorry. Nathan comes before Solomon. Now, again, I read somewhere that Bathsheba actually named Nathan. That it was not David. But nevertheless, this was named after the first child died and after Nathan gave that terrible prophecy to David. Nathan was honored by a child from Bathsheba, born and the name after Nathan. And Solomon, four of Bathsheba, which is Bathsheba, daughter of Amittai. Okay, it's the same Bathsheba. Now, here we go, some more children. So apparently there were more wives. Ibhar also, and Elishama, and Eliphelet, and Nogah, and Nibrin, and Jephthah, and Elishama, and Eliada, Eliphelet, nine. These were all the sons of David besides the sons of concubine and Naamah, their sister. Tamar. Now, I have reason to believe that there were other sisters besides Tamar. The reason she's mentioned is because of the violation against her by her brother. Let me read you a little passage that tells me there were other sisters, other daughters born. 2 Samuel 13, and we have a little description of Tamar, and it says here, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Well, I don't think he really loved her, because it's after he violated her, it says that he hated her. So I don't think he really loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. I don't know what that means. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. So this guy was his cousin. His cousin put him up to it. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. In other words, he was clever, but he was also a wicked fellow. Amen. And he said to him, "Why art thou, being a king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" In other words, this boy was obsessed with something that he shouldn't have had. Amen. And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Now, what is the verse? I don't want to read the whole thing here. Let me go down to verse 18 here. Okay. So here's where he threw her out of the house, verse 17. Then he called his servant that ministered to him and said, "Put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her." And she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. It says, with such robes were the king's daughters. Now, they're not talking about Saul's daughters. They're talking about David's daughters. So how many were there? We don't know. At least Tamar. And Tamar was just, I mean, she was just so upset by this that she never married. I mean, it says David heard, verse 21, David heard all these things, and he was very wroth. That's as much as he did? He was very wroth? Well, he had a right to be wroth. But he should have brought some kind of punishment to, I'll call him boy. Actually, he was a young man by now. And then it says that Absalom began to plot the murder. It took him 2 years to plot the murder before he'd kill his brother. Now, why did all this have to happen to David? Mainly. Well, yes, he made the mistake, too many wives. But mainly, he killed Bathsheba's husband and then took Bathsheba. I don't think he forced Bathsheba. I think he just seduced her. We're just talking real things. These things are in the Bible for us to learn by. All right, so what kind of a grade are we going to give David as insofar as being a father? Not very good. Some of the boys turned out pretty good, like Nathan. Daniel, I think, turned out pretty good. Let me talk about Nathan for a minute. The boy that was named Nathan, did you know that he's in the genealogy of Jesus? Matthew gives the genealogy, but he goes through Solomon. Why does Luke honor Nathan by being part of the genealogy? I'm going to read it to you from Luke. I'm going to read it to you. Luke 3:31. Let's go to Luke. And you probably read these genealogies and you say, oh, well, just a bunch of names. I don't know who these guys are. But, you know, you find a little nugget here and there. Here's the nugget. I'm going to show you. And Jesus himself, being about 30 years old, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Now, somebody, I don't know that we can prove this. Somebody says that one of these genealogies is Mary's genealogy, and the other one is Joseph's genealogy. Well, Joseph wasn't really the biological father, but he was listed because the father has a certain responsibility in his home to raise his children. So the one genealogy comes through Joseph, the other one comes through Mary. Now listen to this. Which was the son of Matthat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Malchi, which was the son of Jana, which was the son of Joseph. Let me see now, which one has the, we got to get down to 31. Which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Amos, which was the son of Nahum, which was the son of Esli, which was the son of Nagi. I'm not good on these Nigerian names. I am not good on Nigerian names or on Hebrew names. I'm not very good at it. Forgive me, brethren, please. Amen. Which was, verse 26, which was the son of Matthan, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Semei, which is the son of Joseph, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joanna, which was the son of Risha, which was the son of Zobabel, which was the son of Salathiel, which was the son of Neri. Well, let me move down to verse 31. Which was the son of Matthiah, which was the son of Menan, which is the son of Metatha, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David, and then it goes to Jesse and on down. Nathan. God chose Nathan, one of the sons, not Solomon, but Nathan, to have his name. All right, that's David. How well did David do as a father? You know, not really so great. But apparently, by the time he got to Bathsheba, he decided to clean up his act a little bit. And he must have been with Bathsheba longer. At least, I'll say he put some good influence in the sons of Bathsheba. All right, we'll give him a better grade there. All right, Solomon. Let's check up on Solomon. I don't have as long or as good a record on Solomon, but we'll take what we've got here. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. Now, what did God say? And by the way, this was in God's instructions from Moses to Israel. What did he say? How were they to deal with the nations around them? They were not to take wives of those nations. They were not to go into them. They were not to take take sons of these nations for their daughters. They were not to do that. They were heathen. God did not want the influence of these heathen nations that were worshipers of other gods, worshipers of Baal, worshipers of Moloch, worshipers, we could name them off. No, God did not want the children of Israel to be polluted in their families with this kind of a spiritual influence of demons, devils. Amen? He did not want it. So, what is the first thing mentioned about Solomon? And it says here in chapter 3, verse 1. If I can find chapter 3 here. All right. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem about it. By the way, this daughter of Pharaoh, she had her own house. She lived in her own house. And what did she do? She, it says, only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And in the beginning here now, it says, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Now, I wonder who got him to do that. I wonder what influence this daughter of Pharaoh had. I mean, Solomon is busy building the temple, and he's out there sacrificing under the influence of this daughter of Pharaoh. Come on, you know the kind of gods they had. Every one of those 10 plagues in Egypt that got the children of Israel released, every one of those represented evil spirit gods that the Egyptians worshipped. This woman is bringing all that with her. And if she becomes the mother of the next king, well, what are we going to have? Something like Absalom, whose grandfather was the king of Tamil, the king of whatever, Geshur, or whatever, what was the name? Geshur, yeah. All right, now, another look at Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 11. We'll get there, brethren. 1 Kings chapter 11. Let's read the first 13 verses here. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Now, the word strange doesn't mean a girl that you don't know. It means they are from heathen countries, heathen nations. King Solomon loved many heathen women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, all kinds of Canaanites, that God had specifically told them, don't get involved with them. Amen. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said to the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave to these in love. Well, what kind of love was it? Anyway, I'll use the word love. We'll be kind to him. He had 700 wives, princesses. That means he got them. He was collecting them from these other nations. He thought if he had a wife from these nations, they wouldn't make any war against him, because the king would say, oh, that's my grandson up there. We can't go and fight against them. Princesses, 700, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. All right, let's be practical about this. Did he even know them? Could he even remember their names? I mean, had he just signed a contract of some sort to keep peace between... Did he have time for them? I mean, did all of these supposed to be producing a child? What kind of a father now was Solomon? What kind of a father could he be? Come on. I have to believe these are real numbers. This is not a mistake. This is not a mathematical error. The Bible said it. This is what it means. Amen. And it came to pass when Solomon was old. By the way, what happened when David was old? When David got old, he couldn't stay warm. I was wondering, is Lucy still on here? Yeah, Lucy. What was this condition called that David had that he couldn't get warm? Hypothermia something or other? Have you ever heard of that? Well, anyway, they didn't know much about medicine. His people that waited on him, what did they think the cure was for David? Another wife! Yes! I mean, they're going to put that Shulamite in bed with him. Well, it turns out that David was too far gone, I guess. Now, I can be kind to David and say, well, okay, David overcame his lust. David overcame. But I think David also, his body was burned out. I don't think David was capable of very much at this point. The cure was not to add another little Shulamite, have a beauty contest, pick the prettiest one. But she was a good girl. She was a good woman. She says she was very kind to David. She nurtured him, took good care of him. Oh, and this one son, the one that Solomon kind of gave him a pass, gave him what's the legal term for? He set him free. He didn't kill him, okay? What did he do? He came up after Solomon was king and wanted the Shulamite to be his wife. Solomon smelled the rat. He said, no, 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 no. And that was the end of that brother. Another rebellion in the house of David. Well, it didn't come to that, but it would have. And Solomon knew that. All right, so let's go after. And it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives, plural. My goodness, it's hard enough to resist one woman that wants to go astray. She's working on you day and night. Come on, we need to go worship Baal a little bit. Come on, come on, come on. Working at him day and night. No, his wives, plural. I'd like to find a good one among this. How many hundred he had? I'd like to find a good woman there. I don't find mention of any good one. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Now there's the good news about David. His heart was perfect. He made mistakes, but his heart was perfect toward God. Bring a prophet in, tell David what he did wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. And he really did repent. David really did repent. Okay, his heart, Solomon's heart. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of Zidonians. You know who Ashtoreth is? We get the name Easter from Ashtoreth. Just translate it into English or German or whatever it was, and you get the word Easter. So the goddess of lust, okay. And after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, Milcom is, let's see, Moloch. What do you know about Moloch? Moloch was the god that they sacrificed their children to. They thought they'd have good crops. They'd come into these groves, and they practiced religious prostitution, the men did, and to Moloch, they would bring their children to sacrifice. This was a fire that burned in this altar of Moloch, and they put their children on that altar and burn them. Oh, what a horrible thing. I mean, it isn't just that these were not so nice gods. These were absolutely horrible, wicked, wicked gods. Some of the worst things you could ever imagine that these other tribes, these heathen. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, all right, which is like Moloch, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Amnon, and likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burn incense and sacrificed unto their God. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him thrice. God gave him a good word. A very good word. All right, so one more thing here in 1 Kings chapter 14. So Solomon's son, Rehoboam, does it say? I don't think we know who Rehoboam's mother was. 1 Kings 14. Verse 21. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which God did choose out of all the tribes of Israel, and put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. Come on, brethren, what do you know about Ammon? Help me out here. Who was Ammon? See, it takes a long time to figure out these names.
Is it one of the gods of Egypt?
Ammon? No, Ammon was one of the sons of Lot. Ammon and Moab. And now Lot, it says righteous Lot. So Lot was a righteous man, but he had sons from his daughters. So Lot was a righteous man. They got him drunk when the girls conceived. But what kind of righteousness must have been in these girls that were the mothers of Ammon and Moab? And forever throughout the Old Testament, Ammon and Moab are one of the enemies of Israel. Now, when you had Gideon, remember last week, with the Midianites, but joined with them was the Ammonites and the Moabites, all part of that gang of locusts that were coming in to rob and plunder and steal from the children of God. What kind of a spirit is this? You know what? The spirit of Ammon and Moab is still out there. Still out there. Heathen. Come on, brethren. People don't like to hear this, but the people of the East. What's wrong with my mind? I can't think of Muhammadites, Islam. These are the descendants of these same people that were in that crowd of Midianites. Now they don't have these gods, they've got another one. And a politician doesn't dare speak a word against it. All right, Rehoboam, his mother was an Ammonitess. And the other thing about the Ammonites is when the children of Israel came to the plains of Moab and they're ready to cross the Jordan now to go into the promised land, who were the people that hired Balaam to curse them? Mainly the Moabites, but their brother, the Ammonites, were in concert with them. So the Moabites and the Ammonites tried to wipe out the whole children of Israel as they came across, as they were almost ready to come across Jordan. Then they sent their girls into the camp and got the young men to commit sin with them. Not a good kind of people, not a good tradition, not a history of righteousness and following the Lord, was it? So, this is the mother now. We know Solomon couldn't give them much time. He had more wives than David. We know Solomon could not be a good father. I don't know how he could even be a father with all them. But he had time for Naamah, the Ammonitess, and Rehoboam became the king. Now, it was Rehoboam had a chance to keep all of Israel together. But no, Jeroboam, the other fellow that had tried to be a rebel, fled to Egypt. And when Solomon was dead, Jeroboam came home and Jeroboam got the whole northern kingdom, and Rehoboam got what? Two tribes, Judah, the southern kingdom. Why did he get that? God knew he was wicked, but he said, because of David, I'm going to leave one of the sons of David in Judah. Rehoboam, when he became king, I'll just finish this. He went to the old men who worked with Solomon in the days of Solomon. He said, well, Dad was pretty rough on you guys. He taxed you real heavy. That's why Solomon was so rich. He took so much from the people. He said, Dad was tough. What shall I do? Shall I be like Dad? And the older men said, the older elders, by the way, I'll use the word elders. They said, no, back off on them. Give them a break. You've got enough already. He went to the young men. The young men said, tash him harder, hit him harder. You know? So he came back to the assembly, and he said, well, here's the way it's going to be. Dad was hard. I'm going to be harder than my dad was. You know what? They said, we've had enough. And they would not follow him. And so they made Jeroboam. Now, one thing about Rehoboam, when you go through the rest of Kings and when you go through Chronicles, every time there was a bad king, it says, and he was wicked as was Rehoboam. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord as Rehoboam had done. So he became the poster child.
Sorry, Brother Mark, it's Jeroboam.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, as Jeroboam, yes. So, but Rehoboam was not a prime example either. So these two kings that came in on the scene after Solomon, not a good record, not a good record. Amen. Well, that's about all I have to say. I'll go back and say again, the God's order for the church, God's order was also during the time of kings, but they weren't following it. God's order, the husband of one wife. Now, I think that's appropriate that we have prayed today for a sister to have a husband and that he can have the husband of one wife. And I've said, anybody else out there listening, if you want to get in on this prayer, just reach in and claim that prayer for you too. God bless you. Let me see.